Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
Well, I know it's summertime, and so sometimes, you know, you shift gears and you know, that whole classroom setting is not really the, you know, environment you want to be in. But just for a few moments to start this message today, I want to turn this into a science experiment, okay? A little science experiment. How many scientists do we have? Any science lovers? Any science lovers? A few of you? How many of you, you don't remember anything about science when you were in school? Don't remember a thing. Now, I am not a big science fan, okay? Physical science or biology or chemistry. Any physics students do we have? Physics? Wow. Okay, we got a few smart people in the house. Well, I'm gonna bring it to maybe, I think we probably studied this in the 7th or 8th grade. This is even before you got into high school. In physical science, I want to bring a lesson here and give us some terminology that's going to help us launch into this discussion today. Now, I didn't like science, but one thing I really loved was science lab. Anybody like to go to the lab? Any pyromaniacs in the house? A few of you? Yeah, if you live in Ascension Parish, you love to set things on fire. It comes with the territory, doesn't it? I mean, we 4th of July, what do? We blow things up. New Year's Eve, what do? We blow things up. Birthday parties, what do? We blow things up. You got a little time on your hand, don't know what to do? Blow some things up. I think there's probably a love for science in Ascension Parish. In the laboratory, the experiments were always the fun part. You know, I didn't remember a whole lot about tests, but a lab experiment, man, I tell you what, unforgettable. How many of you have some unforgettable science lab experiences? Oh, yes. Well, we're going to do a lab experiment here. And I think, you know, 7th, 8th grade physical science, we learned a couple different forms of energy. Okay, we were taught that there were two forms of energy. The first one is called potential energy. How many of you remember potential energy? Potential energy. And what is potential energy? Energy that's not being, somebody cheated. Okay, now look. Now that's not right. That's not right. You played it off like you already knew that. Turn to your neighbor and say, I already knew that. Potential energy is energy that's not being used. It's energy at rest, correct? It's energy that's stored up. Potential. I thought about that. How many of you have ever heard somebody say, hey, you have amazing potential? What does that mean? Well, basically, they see something in you that's maybe not being expressed. It's not being used. It's there, but it hasn't come out yet. Potential energy. All right? So then there's a second kind of energy, and you've got your cheat sheet. I know. And it's called kinetic energy. What's kinetic energy? It's energy in motion. It's energy that's being used. So you see the difference between potential energy, energy that's stored up, and then kinetic energy is energy that's being used. Well, in this experiment this morning, we've got both kinds of energy right now. How many know that for the past 5 minutes, I've been shaking this Sprite bottle? Oh, you saw that. Some of you are wondering, what is he doing? Does he know that's not water? Now, this is Sprite. Now, as I shake this Sprite bottle, I don't know if you can see this in the raised seating, but you see all those bubbles? What is that? Oh, there's wonderful potential in there, isn't it? It's potential energy. Energy that's being built up. It's being stored up, but it's not being used. You see the potential in this Sprite bottle. How many of you can see that? Now, what does it take for me to convert? We're going to do a conversion. We're going to go from potential energy, energy not being used. How are we going to express kinetic energy? How are we going to convert potential into kinetic? Okay, there's one little barrier here. It's called a bottle cap. Now what, let's just say, let's hypothesize. Did you like that word? I don't know what it means, but I kind of throw it out there and just, you know, see how it sounded. It sounded good. What would happen if I were to take the cap on this Sprite bottle and I were to remove it? Yeah, you'd see something. You'd see potential all of a sudden being transferred into kinetic, right? I know some of you are feeling really safe right now at a distance. But now we're going to bring you in on this experiment a little bit. Oh, yeah. See, now I wasn't a threat to you on the stage, but when I walk back here and I talk about kinetic energy, now all of a sudden I feel some energy here. You know, we're in a series called Unstoppable. I love it. We've been talking about Unstoppable all month long. And you know what? I believe this. I believe God wants your life to be unstoppable. Without restriction, without hindrance, without boundaries, God wants you to live a life of kinetic energy. You with me? You know, the Bible says this in John chapter 10. The Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. In other words, you have an enemy and he wants to stop your life. He wants to put a lid. Are you with me? He wants to cap the goodness of God in you. He wants it to be. You see, here's the thought that I had when I drove up onto the campus today. Man, this is a big building. You know what? The devil doesn't mind us coming to a big building as long as our hearts stay small. You know what? The devil doesn't mind that we sing and worship as long as our lives aren't changed. The devil doesn't mind that, you know, you hear a good sermon from time to time. Man, there's the teaching that goes forth as long as you do nothing with what you hear. You see, I believe that there are caps, there are limits that the enemy wants to put on your life. He wants to stop the work of God in you. But you know what? The rest of that verse in John 10:10 says this. Jesus said, I've come that you might have what? Life. That you might not, and if you read it in the Amplified, you know what it says? That you might have life in abundance. To the full. Until it overflows. Come on. How many know God wants you to live a life that will overflow with goodness? Look, they're all clapping up there because they want me to. Turn your neighbor and say, they ain't right. They ain't right. See, you safe up there. You safe. Some of you are like, bring it, bring it. But you know what? What happens when a church will dare to believe God, to remove the limits in their life? You see, what you sense on a Sunday morning, do you know you can carry it with you all week long? Do you know the power of God? Hey, listen, we sang about it today. Do you know the power of that song is found in Scripture? Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Guess what? Why did the religious leaders kill Christ? They wanted to stop him. They thought that if they could kill our king, they would stop our movement. But guess what happened? They crucified Jesus and the Spirit of God multiplied. You see, the Spirit of God in you is what? Unstoppable. And so today, I want to challenge each and every one of us. Whatever lids, maybe there are lids of anxiety or depression. Maybe it's a broken relationship from your past. Maybe it's past pain, hurt, or heartache. Maybe it's anger over injustice. Things happened to you. Maybe you were the victim of circumstances that were beyond your control. Whatever it is, whatever lid is holding you back, I want you to know that today in Jesus, your life can be full of kinetic energy. Miss Tammy, I'm not going to do this to you right now. Come on, can I have a good amen? You're wondering if I'm going to open this, aren't you? Hey, I'm going to open it, and here's why. Because I want you to see what's supposed to happen in the life of a believer. If you can trust God. Now look at that. Ah. Did you see how that sprayed everywhere? You see how we got a sticky mess? That's exactly what God wants your life to look like. Because the Spirit of God in you longs to come out. And everybody that's close to you, they get what you've got. Can I have a good amen? I mean, if they're just in close proximity, they're going to catch some of that stuff. You know why? Because Jesus is alive and his spirit is in you. And I tell you what, that spirit is unstoppable. You know what? We're going to talk about unstoppable life. Now, I want you to write down that word unstoppable. When I say unstoppable, let's do a little word association. What words come to your mind? I mean, just immediately when you think unstoppable, you know what I thought about? I thought about time. How many of you know that you can't turn back the hands of time? I mean, and the older I get, the faster life seems to move. Today is my son's birthday. He's 3 years old. 3 years old today. Hey, and do you know that it seems like just yesterday we were down at that front building and I was saying, hey, would y'all pray that God will give me a son? Remember that? Oh, and boy, did God answer that prayer. Trevor is all boy and he's full of kinetic energy. I thought about gravity. When you think about words unstoppable, I thought about gravity. You know what? You can say you don't believe in gravity all you want to, but step off the edge of that stage and guess what? Gravity is going to change your theology. It's unstoppable. There's nothing you can do about it. When I thought about unstoppable, I thought about government spending. Somebody say, oh me. I thought, you know what else I thought unstoppable? Chocolate covered almonds. How many of you bought that $2 box and you thought, I'm just going to eat one? It's impossible to eat just one chocolate. Next thing you know, you've eaten the whole box and you're wondering, hey, do I have $2 more? I need another box. Unstoppable. I thought about Louisiana road construction. They get one road fixed, they're going to tear another one up. Come on, the orange cones are everywhere. I thought about LeBron James. Now, I know some of you are upset. He's in Miami. He left Cleveland. But guess what? LeBron James is better than you. Turn to your neighbor and say, he can beat you one-on-one. Can't stop him. But when you say the word unstoppable, I wonder, does church come to mind? I wonder, does Healing Place Church, do we connect that thought? HPC, unstoppable. Better yet, do you think of your life? When you hear the word unstoppable, do you think of your life, your marriage, your family, your children? You see, I'm convinced that God wants your life to be an unstoppable force for him. I'm convinced that God wants this church not to be just a refuge from the world, but he wants us to be a force in the world. Can you say amen? Amen. You see, I believe that God has called us and equipped us as a body to be an unstoppable force in our community. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 14. I want to share with you a story that I think probably describes best what an unstoppable life looks like. Matthew chapter 14, starting with verse 22. I love this story. I love the story in Scripture. It's one of my all-time favorites. I think this is going to give us an inside look on what it takes to have a life that's unstoppable. Look at verse 22 of Matthew 14. Immediately after this, now let me give you some context. What has just happened is Jesus has just fed 5,000. 5,000 men, of course, you know, scholars believe that could have been 15 to 20,000 people total, maybe even more. Do you know that the feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle to appear in all four Gospels? So obviously it was significant. Jesus had just made a clear demonstration of his power. And now watch this. This is immediately after this. I think this is interesting. Immediately after this, Jesus made his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. Afterwards, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. I think that's interesting because Jesus understands his time is limited. I mean, at this stage in his life, he's 30. He may have, you know, three and a half years left on earth. He knows the clock is ticking. He just performed an incredible miracle. Doesn't it make sense after a demonstration like that, that you kind of just stick around and talk to people? Or, you know, I'm thinking, man, if that's me, I'm going to hold a press conference. You know, I'm going to at least make some kind of announcement. Hey, did y'all see that? That was just 2 fish and 5 loaves. Now let me just tell you a few things. Let me tell you who I am. But Jesus does the opposite. Jesus tells his disciples, hey, you get in this boat and I want you to go to the other side of the lake. And then he sends the crowd away. Why do you think he would do that? Well, I'm thinking if you've got limited time and a mission as huge as the global evangelization of the world, why would you want to be by yourself? But he withdraws from the crowd and he goes up into the hills and he seeks God. See, I think an unstoppable life, I think, is really, here's the first clue. That speaks volumes to me. Because if Jesus would withdraw from life, how many of you know life can be crazy and chaotic at times? A lot of things happening. Busy, busy, busy. Tons of things to do. And Jesus withdrew from the craziness of life to seek his Father. How many of you would agree that if Jesus does that, how much more do we need to do that? And all throughout the ministry of Christ, you see him doing this time and time again. Early, he's seeking God. He's withdrawing from people, and he's going to be alone with his Father. You know, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. An unstoppable life, number one, is always connected to God. If you're going to be unstoppable, you're going to have a divine connection. Even Jesus had to push back the clutter of life and connect with God. You know, we live in a culture where there's so much noise. You know, we've got Facebook. How many of you Facebook? A lot of Facebook. Love it. How many of you Twitter? Social networking and media. You know, I mean, there's iPhones. How many of you have an iPhone? How many of you have an iPod? How many of you have iTunes? I mean, think of iPhone, iPod, iTunes, Wait, what about MySpace? MySpace. So much chatter. There's voices everywhere. Everywhere you turn, somebody's got something to say. Have you noticed that? And if you're not careful, you can be listening to so many voices and then making so many wrong choices. How many of you know that it's important for us to be dialed in to the voice of God Almighty? Jesus shows us this because the divine flow of power is directly related to a connection we have with God. I think this is huge. Remember, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it lives in you. And if it's going to flow out of you, we've got to be connected to the right source. Now, here's the picture that I have. It's like an extension cord. How many fellas have an extension cord in your garage? Think about it. An extension cord has no life in and of itself. There's no power in an extension cord. But the very purpose of an extension cord is to be plugged into an electrical source and then serve as a conduit that will extend power to faraway places. You know, how many think that that's probably a good plan for our life? There's no power in and of us. We have no power. But you know, when we're connected to the right source, guess what? That power becomes available to us to flow through us. How many's ever seen a grown man on top of a ladder fight a bunch of wasps with some electrical hedge clippers? I've not seen it, but I've been a part of it. This past week, I was trimming our hedges, and we've got this big holly tree in the front yard, and so it was just getting big, and just kind of, it was out of control. And so I'm thinking, man, that tree is being trimmed today. So I'm on a ladder, and I've got these, you know, clippers. And, man, and I got my, you know, electrical cord all wrapped around. And, you know, I got it all set. And, man, I'm coming around here like this. And the next thing you know, it felt like a piece of glass had come through my hand. I didn't even see wasps. They were on me before I saw them. And you know what? When you get stung by a wasp, what do? I mean, you just start swinging, don't you? I'm on the top of the ladder. The wasp stung me on the hand. I didn't even see it. Next thing you know, there's like a dozen of them flying by my head. So I'm just, I mean, this is like a scene out of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I just, man, and I'm trying to go. Next thing you know, boom, I cut my cord right in two. I got stung, I cut my cord, and guess what happened? Knocked me off the ladder. Boom, I'm on the ground. And man, I'm on the ground, and I'm still kicking because you know what? The wasps were still flying around me. And I'm sure the neighbors really enjoyed that. But you know what? Isn't that how life happens? The devil would love to get you busy, get you distracted. He may sting you a couple times, and then in panic, what do? You cut the very source of your power. Are you with me, church? You see, listen, life has a way of being so accelerated that if you're not careful, you're so busy, you lose your connection with God. Jesus said, time out. Disciples, you get in this boat. Crowd, go on home. I've got more important business to take care of. An unstoppable life is always connected to God. And see, the truth is this. If we're going to be an unstoppable force, we've got to be connected to the right source. Because the power doesn't come from you. And you know what? You can either be pitiful or you can be powerful. But you can't be both. Are you with me today? How many of you would choose a life of being powered by God? We've got to stay plugged in. Got to stay plugged in. Look at what he says. So after he sends the crowd away, verse 24. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 a.m., here comes Jesus. He's walking to them on the water. Verse 26, when the disciples see him, they scream in terror, thinking he's a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once. It's all right, he said. I'm here. Don't be afraid. Now, I want you to check this scene out. He put the disciples in that boat, and he sent them to the other side of the lake. Isn't it amazing that Jesus sent them directly into a storm? I mean, question, do you think Jesus knew that storm was out there? I mean, now there are storms that may catch us by surprise, but how many of you know in South Louisiana, we know about storms? Oh, yes, we watch them carefully. I guarantee you, Jesus knew that storm was out there. And he puts them in the boat and he sends them right to it. You know what's interesting? Jesus walks to them and basically they don't know who he is. How many of you have discovered that sometimes it's hard to recognize God is at work in the middle of your storm? You see, I've heard it said that, you know, that we're all connected to storms in one way or another. Either you're in the middle of a storm, either you're coming out of a storm, or you're about to step into a storm. And sometimes it's hard for us to see the fingerprints of God when the wind is blowing and the waves are crashing. You know, we get our eyes on so many other things. And Jesus comes to them, and he doesn't really do anything. I mean, the disciples are afraid, but he says, hey, it's me. It's all right. Don't be afraid. Second thing I want you to know is this. An unstoppable life will always bump up against fear. If you're going to be... Now, this is the part of unstoppable that most of us are uncomfortable with. I don't know how much I like this point. Because I'm into being connected to God. I understand that. But if I'm going to be unstoppable, Mike, why you got to bring the fear factor in it? Can I tell you, fear kind of comes with the territory. Jesus shows up and, you know, if I'm one of the disciples, I'm thinking, well, if you're Jesus, do something about this. And he doesn't. He just says, hey, guys, don't be afraid. I'm here. It's me. I'm here. It's okay. You see, it's almost as if he knew something about fear that we don't. You know, fear not. That phrase is found in the scriptures 365 times. Did you know that? I mean, all throughout the Bible, you hear somebody saying, fear not. God's speaking to the children of Israel. He's speaking to Moses. He's speaking to Abraham. He tells David, fear not. I mean, all throughout the scriptures, you hear that 365 times. How many days are there in a year? It's almost as if Jesus knew that on a daily basis, we would have to confront fear. If you choose to live an unstoppable life, I want to tell you, you will bump up against fear all the time. All the time. In fact, here's a spiritual principle that I want you to know. Fear and growth, they go together like mac and cheese. I mean, it's a package deal. If you're committed to growing, you will experience fear. You're going to be in situations that are bigger than you, that are beyond you. You're going to be up against circumstances that could create fear. You're going to have to come face to face with that. It's like peanut butter and jelly. How many love PBJ? Love it. Man, that was a union that was divinely orchestrated. Well, same thing. If you're committed to growing, guess what? You're going to come face to face with fear. In fact, when you conquer your fears, you've taken new territory. But guess what? At another level, there's a new set of circumstances. There's another devil. Have you heard that before? New levels, new devils. So just as you conquer one fear and you grow, then you're in a new season. And now there's a new challenge and there's a new opportunity. In fact, fear is the price tag of growth. You commit to grow. The price is, well, you're going to have to bump up against fear a few times. You know, earlier this year, Rachel and I, we took the girls to Disney World. And it was over Mardi Gras break, so we had a week off. Didn't realize that the whole world would be in Orlando at that time. And so, man, there were people everywhere. We left Trevor at the house. He was a little bit too young. Too much kinetic energy. Had to have him back here. And so Rachel and I took Alexa and Michaela. Now, the girls are totally different. Alexa is a thrill seeker. How many of you have a thrill seeker in your family? It's all about adventure. I mean, it's, step out. Let's take risk. You know, come within an inch of your life. And so that's Alexa. But Michaela is different. She's not about the rides. She was about the princesses and the shows. I mean, that's her world. And so, you know, Alexa's wanting to go on all these rides. And I found myself having to convince Michaela, hey, listen, it's okay. We can do this. You know, she's reluctant to ride the bigger rides. But if we're all going to experience it, I had to talk her into it. You know, we went to Test Track in Epcot. Have you been on that one? I mean, that thing is rolling like 60 miles an hour. You know, we did, there's a ride in, is it Animal Kingdom called Mount Everest? Oh, yes. You know, and it was the same path. You know, Michaela would see the ride. Of course, she would be intimidated. I would have to talk to her. She'd say, Daddy, is this ride safe? And I'd be like, well, of course it is. Well, then why do they call it the Tower of Terror? Well, baby, it's not like that, you see. I mean, don't worry about the blood-curdling screams. I mean, you're just free-falling from seven stories. It's really safe. Come on, we can do this. And so inevitably she would, and I would say, trust me. She would trust me. She'd get on the ride. She was a little anxious. She put her trust in Daddy. She faced her fear. And after every single ride, she'd get off saying, Daddy, that was my favorite ride. That was my favorite. I love Test Track. I love Mount Everest. The Tower of Terror. It ain't so scary. Last day we're there, the Rock and Roller Coaster, the granddaddy of them all. It was the final ride that had not been conquered. So we stand in line for 2.5 hours. Come on, parents. How many know the price you pay? You love your kids. Back hurt, man. My feet were screaming at me. 2.5 hours, and we wait. Finally, it was our turn, and there was a father-son who got on the ride in front of us. And when they put that little boy, they strapped him in, his daddy sat next to him, the boy just panicked. I mean, he tripped out. He's crying. They had to escort him off the ride. Now, this is happening right in front of us, and Michaela's looking at me like, Daddy, is this okay? Baby, look, you're going, hey, have you enjoyed all, every ride? Has Daddy ever lied to you? No, sir. Trust me. We get in this ride, and they strap us in. And then it dawned on me, wait a second, this ride goes from like 0 to 70 in 2.5 seconds. We get in there and the ride starts, it like launches us out like a cannon. And she cries instantly. I mean, tears are not just rolling down her cheek. It's those Charlie Brown tears that are coming out the side of her face. And me, and it's just like, it was on me before I knew. And I'm trying to comfort her, but the G-force is on me. I can't even reach over to, baby, it's going to be okay. 2 minutes late, I mean, she is bawling the whole time. We get off that ride. We get out, and then she looks at me. She says, Daddy, how could you? So the last 5 months, we've been going through counseling because the poor girl's been traumatized. But what was Daddy trying to do? I was trying to help her face her fears. Because you know what? When you bump up against fear, you understand, wait a second, that wasn't so bad. Yeah, was there some anxiety? Of course. Is it bigger and stronger than me? Well, yes, it is. But you know what? Nothing is bigger or stronger than the God inside of you. If you're going to commit to discipleship and growth and a life that's unstoppable, I want to tell you this. You will always bump up against fear. Jesus looked at those disciples and he said, hey, I'm here. Don't be afraid. Now look at what happens next. This story hinges on the next two verses. Check this out. I love verse 28. Then Peter says to Jesus, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you by walking on water. Now let's stop right there for a second. Whose idea was this in the first place? You know, when I read that this week and it hit me. Wait a second. Jesus, it didn't originate from Jesus. It came from Peter. Peter's the guy that's standing up in the boat saying, okay, Jesus, if it's really you, it's almost like he invites himself, doesn't he? He invited himself into the whole scene. It would have been different if Jesus would have said, hey, Peter, come see. That's a little bit different. But the idea comes from Peter. He says, Lord, if it's really you, tell me, command me to come to you by walking on the water. You know what Jesus says? All right. Come on. I love that opportunity. Because there's an opportunity for each and every one of us to live a life that's not just decent, but a life that's dangerous. Peter stands up and he says, Lord, I'm coming. What do you think the other disciples were thinking at that moment? Peter, what? We've seen this before. Oh, you've run your mouth before. You've boasted of big things before. We know how impulsive you are. How many of you have you ever had a friend that had like massive enthusiasm, but very little ability? Do you have friends like that in your life? They got like a touch of crazy on them. Whole lot of excitement, but very little ability. How many of you know that that combination equals one thing? Injury. When enthusiasm is greater than ability, it results in injury. I mean, it's like the guy who says, hey, look, check this out. I'm going to jump off this roof onto that trampoline and I'm going to dive into that pool and it's going to be awesome. How many of you know at that moment, if you're one of the friends, you're thinking, hey, let me get the video camera. This will be awesome on YouTube. We make him make some money off of this. I mean, you see that. Or it's like the dude that's like, hey, dude, throw that brick at me and see if I can get out of the way. It's like dodge brick. It's really fun. Fling it right in my head. And don't tell me when you do it either. I won't even look. I'll listen for the wind. And you're like, careful. You know, I mean, that's good advice, but it's a little late, isn't it? Careful. If I'm one of the disciples right now, I'm thinking, Peter, careful. You're going to hurt yourself. Hey, what's your mama's number one thing to say when you leave the house? Careful. When you drive off, what is she saying? Drive careful. How wouldn't you love, because I mean, that's what mamas do, right? I mean, as parents, we care about the safety of our kids. But you know what I thought about this weekend? I would love for my mom just one time when I'm leaving, I would love for her to say, drive fast and take chances. Cut people off, sweet pea. Use your road rage if you have to. Wouldn't you love to hear mama say that just one time? Careful. Why? Because mama cares about safety. We want to avoid risk at all costs. Let me tell you this. Don't let careful stand in the way of unstoppable. You see, how many of you know that sometimes careful It will stand in the way of your destiny. If you live a life that's free of risk, how many of you know you will never walk in God's best for you? Oh, come on. Can I have a better amen this Sunday morning? You know what? And the truth is this. If you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. You say, but Mike, are you telling me to do something stupid? No. I'm not saying don't exercise wisdom. But you know what wisdom sometimes does? Wisdom will silence the voice of well-meaning people in order to hear the voice of God. Careful! Sometimes we have careful theology, careful practices, and we never walk where God wants us to step. I remember several months ago, remember Chris Kane when she rattled off some sayings to us? Things that we hear all of our lives growing up. Remember, finish these sayings. You can't have your cake and if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. What goes up must come down. Leave well enough. Let sleeping dogs keep both feet on. Don't count your chickens. Keep your head above. Don't bite off more. You see, listen, I mean, we grow up all of our lives hearing those things. They're spoken over us, and we've created a philosophy of life based on that. Do you know what? Everything in life is designed to keep you mediocre. What if Jesus would have sent out the disciples and said, careful, don't stir up any trouble. Don't talk to strangers. Just be safe. Can I tell you what? Jesus sent his disciples out. And he says, I'm sending you out with power. You're going into a world that's hostile. Don't be careful. Be dangerous. And these men, the Bible says, they shook cities. They turned the world upside down. They weren't decent men. They were dangerous men. You know why? Because they refused to avoid risk. Their life was unstoppable because they recognized that risk is part of the journey. Can I have a good amen? In fact, you hear, this last thought, check this out. In fact, you hear from Peter, the same guy. In the book of Acts, the disciples had been beaten. They were standing before the high council. And you know what Peter says? They're telling him, don't ever speak in Jesus' name. You quit doing these things. And you know what Peter says? We can't stop talking about the wonderful things we've seen and heard. Unstoppable. Peter steps over the boat and he does the amazing. He walks on water. But when he looked around, look at verse 30. Let me close this thought. But when he looked around at the high waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and he grabbed him. You don't have much faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back in the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. You say, but Mike, didn't Peter fail? I guess so. Maybe he took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink. I guess that's true. But you know what? I think in this story, there were 11 guys who failed even greater. Because to me, if I'm going to make a mistake, if I'm going to fall, I want to fall when I'm out on the water. And guess what happens when you fall out on the water? You fall right into the hands of a loving Savior. You see, only Peter knew the glory of walking on water. I think he probably carried that experience with him the rest of his life. Oh yeah, he failed. He failed publicly. Everybody saw it. But you know what? In his failure, he experienced something that no other human being has ever experienced. And I want to tell you, in those moments, in those opportunities, you know God in a way that nobody else does.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.